Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2528 with a release date of Friday, April 10th, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC explores using more radio spectrum for space technology. Two cosmonauts join a tribute to the first man in space, and a deal secures funds to upgrade an emergency response phone network. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2528 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
We begin this week in Washington, D.C. An official posting on the website of the Federal Communications Commission refers to potential new spectrum users as, and this is their terminology, weird space stuff. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, explains what's going on.
Expecting that orbital laboratories, inhabitable spacecraft, in-space repairs, and many other related uses are going to have a need for greater access to RF spectrum, the Federal Communications Commission is seeking comments on ways to make that happen. The agency voted last month to address new ways to support tracking, telemetry, and command for a variety of over-the-horizon initiatives. The FCC published the proceeding on its website, referring to the uses as, quote, weird space stuff, end quote. The agency said that the proposed rulemaking is part of a larger effort to modernize policies in support of the quickly growing space sector. It encouraged comments, in particular from companies involved in different aspects of lunar missions, satellite servicing, or related operations. One of the potential frequency ranges referenced in the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking is the frequency range 2305 to 2315 MHz, which overlaps part of the amateur radio allocation on 13 centimeters. The proposed docket number, 2654. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A ham in Florida with an experimental license is busy exploring propagation and its impact on 4 meters and 8 meters. As we hear from Jack Parker, W8ISH, he hopes this work will stir more interest in amateur access.
In the hope of gaining insights into seasonal propagation trends, sporadic E, trans-equatorial propagation, and low-band VHF path behavior, the experimental station WQ2XDM has been conducting experiments using the digital weak signal modes WHISPER and FT8 on the 4 and 8 meter bands. The license was granted to John K9JMS, who is asking fellow hams to monitor reception and send him reports for data collection. He recommends using PSK Reporter and station logs and screenshots to record time, SNR, grid and frequency details while monitoring FT8 on 40.680 MHz. The station's website, says John, will publish a final white paper and an open data set. The location in Florida is key to the experimental activity because of the region's reoccurring tropospheric ducting in the Gulf Atlantic region. Florida's low latitude makes it especially suitable for capturing trans-equatorial propagation and equatorial ionospheric phenomena. According to the station's page on QRZ.com, the project is aimed at strengthening the case for more interest in and access to 8 meters. Unlike hams in a number of other countries, such as Ireland, Slovenia, and South Africa, licensed amateurs in the U.S. do not have access to either 8 meters or 4 meters. Signal reports or queries can be sent to John at the email address wq2xdm.fl@gmail.com. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
She was the first teacher to make contact with the International Space Station by ham radio. Remembering Rita Wright, who is now a silent key, is Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
Rita Bauer Wright, KC9CDL, taught math and science for 38 years at District 111 in Burbank, Illinois, USA, where she always encouraged her students to reach for the stars. Rita wrote educational materials for NASA, so in 1988, she challenged her students to come up with a name for the next space shuttle. Her student projects also included solar-powered cars and robot prototypes for Mars exploration. But it was on December 21st, 2000, that Rita led 14 elementary school students to make the first school contact by ham radio with the International Space Station. It took years to coordinate through the ARRIS application and ARRL educational proposal processes. Leading up to the set date, the suburban Chicago school was covered with space-themed projects made by kids in all classrooms from kindergarten to eighth grade. The first attempt was set for December 19th with Charles Sufana, AJ9N, assisting the contact with Commander William Shepard, KD5GSL, aboard the ISS. That didn't go as planned. A successful retry came 2 days later. Rita wrote in her post-contact report that, quote, at 2028 UTC, Bill Shepard and the ISS came up over the horizon for what turned out to be a near-direct overhead pass. Charlie and his team made a connection within seconds and continued up to 2039 UTC, end quote. All 14 students chosen to ask questions got their chance. Those Chicago-area students were welcomed to school by their teachers in the morning, and by the afternoon, welcomed aboard the ISS. Rita is survived by her loving OM of 68 years, Billy, KC9HRM, who is also a member of the Chicago-area Stars Radio Club. Thanks to Stars Club President Dennis Calderon, KC9DSP, for helping Rita keep her license active in recent years and for sharing her legacy. Rita Wright became a silent key on the 8th of March. This is Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
In Argentina, broadcasters and amateur radio operators together are grieving the loss of a prominent member of both communities. We hear more about him from Dave Lee, M7TLB.
Carlos Almirón, LU7DSY, enjoyed a long and busy career on both the professional and amateur sides of radio. Over the years, he became well known as a TV and radio journalist for a number of media outlets in Argentina. A former sports journalist, he later moved on to covering news and had served as a war correspondent in the Falklands. Across oceans and continents, the radio amateur became known as a successful DXer and de-expeditioner. He was a member of the DXCC honor roll. Locally, Carlos' talents were put to good use during the annual American Lighthouse Weekend, organized each February by members of the Radio Club Grupo DX Bahía Blanca, which he helped found. Carlos became a silent key on the 21st of March. He was 79. This is Dave Lee, M7TLB.
In Pennsylvania, an important net has been connecting with others in the region, having a near-vertical incident skywave antenna. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us about this net.
Using the properties of the near-vertical incident skywave antenna to their best advantage, members of the Red Cross of Southeast Pennsylvania have been running a successful monthly net enabling other MCOM stations, municipal emergency centers, and interested radio operators to check in. The calls come from as close by as the immediate region and from as far away as northern New Jersey, Delaware, and the greater New York area. The net is, in fact, all about check-ins. Participants ask for call sign, name, location, and an accurate signal report. According to Cliff Hotchkiss, KC3PGT, the regional lead for the American Red Cross's disaster services training in Southeast Pennsylvania, these important records have been logged on this NVIS net since its startup almost a year and a half ago. Using the Southeast Pennsylvania Red Cross call sign WA3ARC, the net operates from its communications trailer and welcomes anyone who wants to check in. Cliff told Newsline, quote, "We started it for a dual purpose. First, we need to exercise and practice setting up our NVIS antenna and operating from our communications trailer. Second, we wanted to establish a frequency range and protocol to communicate with our neighboring Red Cross regions in case of a widespread communication outage," end quote. Like so many other NVIS nets around the country, this net relies on the antenna's ability to establish connections with local and regional stations and has a maximum range of about 400 miles. Cliff said that it is useful for emergency communications on HF because unlike UHF-VHF nets, it does not rely on repeaters. The net takes place on the third Thursday of every month, which this month will be April 16th. Calls for check-ins begin at about 10 a.m. Eastern Time on 40 meters, on or below 7.235 megahertz. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Time for you to identify your station. We're the amateur radio newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K6IS repeater of the Siskiyou County Amateur Radio Association in Yreka, California, on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. local time. Funding has been approved for a phone network that is relied upon by public safety agencies throughout the U.S. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, explains what happens next.
A mobile phone network created to provide public safety agencies around the United States with reliable emergency communications is poised for service upgrades after reaching an agreement with the federal government and the network's private sector partner, AT&T. Under the deal, AT&T, which built and maintains the network known as FirstNet, will cover the cost of $1 billion worth of the network's improvements. At the same time, AT&T will reduce its bill to the federal government by another $1 billion for its continued support to FirstNet. The government selected AT&T to build the network in 2017 when the service was first known as the Nationwide Public Safety Broadband Network. Its creation was driven by the breakdown in emergency communication for public safety agencies and first responders in the aftermath of the terror attacks on September 11, 2001. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Hams wishing to pay tribute to the first man in space have a chance to do so by making radio contact with two cosmonauts who followed the pioneering path of Yuri Gagarin. We have details from Jeremy Boot, G4, and JH.
A pair of cosmonauts, each in their own time, brought value to the realm of space exploration for their country. Alexander Volkov, U4MIR, now retired, is a veteran of three launches who later served as commander of the cosmonaut detachment at the Yuri Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Center. Roscosmos cosmonaut Alexander Grebenkin, R3HP, who has a radio communications engineering background, served as a mission specialist for SpaceX Crew 8 in 2024. Now the two are adding value to an event here on Earth that pays tribute to Yuri Gagarin and the trip 65 years ago that made him the first man in space. Both cosmonauts will be among the activators seeking QSOs with chasers on the 11th and 12th of April as part of an international DX contest honoring the Soviet cosmonaut and bearing his name. Contacts will be on HF via CW and SSB. The cosmonauts aren't just worth double multipliers for chasers, but earn them QSL cards bearing their autographs. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, Elvira IV3 FSG is on the air as 3X3A from Rome/Ruma Island, Guinea, IOTA number AF051 from the 11th through to the 25th of April, using SSB, CW, and the digital modes. Listen for her on 80 to 6 meters, where she will be operating with one of two low-power stations. A team of operators using the call sign GB0OH will be on the air from the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, IOTA number EU010. Listen for them from the 11th through to the 17th of April. Three operators will be calling QRZ on 40 to 10 meters. They will operate SSB with some FT8. The Hungarian Amateur Radio Society is marking the 235th anniversary of the birth of Samuel Morse and has 9 special event call signs on the air, all making use of the numbers 2, 3, and 5. The calls include HA235MSE, HA235S, HA235A, and HA235M, and operators will be using CW and SSB. The special event will take place from the 17th through to the 27th of April, and an award is available. Marking World Amateur Radio Day, which is the 18th of April, members of the HF Committee and the Board of Directors of Belgium's IARU Society, the UBA, will be on the air throughout April. Listen for the call sign 0026WARD. For QSL and other information about these stations, visit their pages on QRZ.com. In the Carolinas, a special brand of homebrew is being made. Music that celebrates some amateur radio traditions, with some help from AI. Jim Davis, W2JKD, tunes up with our final story for the week.
Zach Thompson, KM4BLG, believes that there's something lyrical about the regional Hamfest hosted by his club, the Western Carolina Amateur Radio Society. It's a day that's popular with local families and attracts those from Tennessee, South Carolina, and beyond who gather each year at the Smoky Mountain Event Center in Waynesville. Well, this year's event on July 25th is shaping up to be even more lyrical because it actually has lyrics, its own promotional theme song, set to bluegrass music. Zach told Newsline that while he's a music lover, he is not a musician, so he got some help with the writing and composing. He outsourced both tasks to AI. And even though the song's performance on the Amateur Radio Society's YouTube channel is by a fictional group called CQDX and the 73s, again, created by AI. What he got are lyrics like this. Coax coil shining in the Carolina sun. Antennas reaching like pines to the sky. That's the kind of magic that happens when AI meets RF. Besides, not everything here is artificial. The event itself offers very real feelings of fellowship and the beauty of the Smoky Mountains. Zach told Newsline that he was so surprised at how well the song turned out that he partnered up with AI to generate a tribute to Parks on the Air. It can be found on his KM4BLG YouTube channel. The same fictional musicians are back with more lyrical inspiration that, according to the YouTube blurb, will, quote, having you wanting to drop everything and go activate, unquote. Best of all, getting out and doing the POTA stuff isn't something that you can do using AI, at least not yet. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, Cliff Hotchkiss, KC3PGT, David Bihar, K7DB, Dmitry Kolinchik, R3GM, FCC, 425DX News, FirstNet, Government Technology, QRZ.com Forums, ShortwaveRadio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, Experimental Station, WQ2XDM, YouTube, YL Beam, Zach Thomas, KM4BLG, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.